Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
I want to tell you tonight, as we get ready to go into the next level, I want to thank you as you get ready to talk to the next level. Tonight is divine word. I want to tell you the truth. I want the truth to get to you tonight, the divine truth. Are we talking about white supremacy globally? How it started, what happened with it. But just go out for you, Pat, and Lisa, you and Joe, this out for y'all tonight. I want to start this all with this right here.
Remembering Detroit Rabbit Charles A. Smith Jr., put your hands together.
Yeah.
and I want to come to you. We're talking about the violence throughout the world, what's going on. And I want to say to you that we feel that we must come together as people to make things happen. Don't forget, I'm concerned about your church and your family. I'm concerned about you being blessed. I'm concerned about those open up for you. Yes, I want you to know that we can change what's going on in Chicago, Detroit, California, what's going on over the world. This is Bishop Turner. I want you to know that. And I just want to come to you and let you know that I'm concerned about your family problem, what's going on in your life. I'm concerned about you. If you'll call me and I call you, we begin to communicate with tools. Wherever you might be, with God, all things are possible. Don't forget, give me a call. Don't forget, I will pray with you and for you. And whatever you need, God can grant you your need. And I want you to know, we must begin to network and work together to make things happen for your home, my home, your village, your business. I want to let you know, your business about to flow. I'll tell you that the things that are going on can work out for you right now. I'm glad to come to you. I want to say this to you today, or wherever I live, all is well. And I want to say it again, all is well for you, the new job, and the things that you're trying to do. I'm trying to let you know that God got your back. This is Bishop Turner. I want you to know that whatever you're going through, if you're trying to retire or you're trying to get a new job or just trying to work on your health, I want to be with you every step of the way. Your miracle is on its way. Your blessing is on its way. I want to take this time to say your blessing is a moment away. I want to take this time to say that you can get what you want. You can have what you want. I want to say that to you, and I want you to know, evening, night, day, east, west, north, and south, I'm going to pray for you. It don't get too dark. It don't get too rainy. It don't too much snow. Winter, I'm going to pray that your blessing come through. Let me say it again. I'm going to pray that your blessing come through right now. I want you to go knowing, sowing, and flowing in the right direction. Direction that you can be successful in the $1 trillion flow. You can be a part of the $1 million club right here on Blog Talk Radio, where I'm on 5 days a week, Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I'm on the air. You can get me Mondays at 10 to 11. We're talking about Martin Luther King movement. Tuesdays, crossing over with our ancestors. We're talking about things that have lost, you have found, and subjects that will be coming up. And then and on Wednesday, we go deep in the Bible. We talk about Bible class. We talk about the 66 books of the Bible, and we want you to go knowing and sowing with them. And on Thursday, we talk about metaphysics of the Bible, body, mind, soul, and spirit. And Friday, or payday, $1 trillion flow, more money. We talk about the issues of the world, the money issues, the mental issues, what's going on all over the world. We talked about that. I want to thank Brother Calvin, my engineer. I want to thank all the ministers that have been working with us, going to back. Well, don't forget, it's very important, Sunday morning from 11 to 12, I'm preaching the word of God. I'm prophesying the word of God. I'm talking about right now your blessing, your miracle, your healing. And every Sunday morning from 11 to 12, you ought to be there in the internet with me. Get a cup of coffee, get some tea, and sit back, tell your husband, tell your wife, and we're going to listen to Bishop Sunday morning from 11 to 12. And I want you to know all is well. This is your bishop. I'm your computer bishop. You can download me. You can get me 24/7. And then you can see me on live screen. I'm screaming. And then after that, you can go to YouTube. We're talking about crossing over the ancestors. We're talking about things, losing planes. And we're talking about some of the storms, the floods, the snow. We're talking about all of that on YouTube. Now, I just want you to call a friend, call a neighbor to listen to Bishop. Call somebody to Bishop. And I might have a word for you this morning. This evening, God might give me, sometimes God calls your name. When God calls your name, I tell you what's going on. So he calls your name. When he calls your name, he give me your address. Sometimes he give me the city that you're in. Sometimes he give me what's going to happen to you. I do divine prophecy, and divine come from God. Now, and as I give messages right now, even in this promo, I'm seeing somebody being healed in their side, and I want to speak to that healing in your side. I want to speak to somebody been having a irregular heartbeat. I claim the healing right now. I ain't talking about now. And somebody been having burning in their eyes. You're healing right now. Somebody been having burning up in their stomach. Feels like their stomach is boiling. I speak healing to that stomach right now. I speak healing to that hearing situation right now. I speak peace in that family where they've been arguing and fussing. I speak peace right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I speak it. It is done. Don't forget, Sunday morning. Sunday morning, Saturday night. Sunday morning, come and be blessed from 11 to 12. God, if you meet me and I meet you, God got a word for you. And that word is, whatever he got for you, I'm going to tell you. God bless you. I want you to go know and so on. God bless you on this Thursday night divine word. I want to tell you tonight, I'm praying for you. The people down in Grambling, where a tornado was in Grambling, tornado in Ruston, down in Homer, Louisiana, down in Jackson, Mississippi, tornadoes. And I just got a call. They said it's tornado warning out down through Texas and Sweetport. I'm praying for you, wherever you might be, that God is able to bring you out. I'm praying that God will open up a door for you. I want you to do getting ready for Father's Day. Every day should be Father's Day. And I want you to give this number to somebody, tell them to call because I got a word for them. 515-605-9890. That's for somebody to call. And right now, I'm giving a word to the name Betty. I don't know where she at. Betty in Texas is going to be all right. Bob, I see a door open up for you. Things are going to be all right. I want to tell you, Shirley, all is well. You lost your loved one. This mother right now, there's no sorrow on earth that heaven cannot heal. I want you to get ready for the healing that God got for you. God got a blessing with your name on it.
Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
From this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun,
mm-hmm,
to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised.
Amen.
The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is likened unto the Lord, our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth? He praises, he raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifts the needy out of the dunghill,
mm-hmm,
that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people.
Mm-hmm.
He maketh the barren woman to keep house.
Yes.
And to be joyful mother of children.
Mm-hmm.
Praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord. This morning I want to say this.
Yes.
He said that he will bring you out of the dunghill.
Yes.
Out of your mess and set you in a place.
Yes.
And I want to tell you that right now that God is uplifting us in the spite of,
yes,
the storms and the flood.
Yes.
God is getting ready to carry us to another level.
Yes.
Whatever you're going through, go through it this morning.
Yes.
Because God is a healer.
Yes.
And a deliverer.
Thank you, Lord.
And David said that he lifted me up because he over everything.
Yes.
He looked down and picked you up where you can't get up.
Yes. Lord.
The doctor said you can't get well, but God said different. He said, I control the universe.
Yes.
And if God controls the universe today, and I want you to know that he will lift you up and carry you to a safe place.
Yes.
He will carry you to a place of rest.
Yes, Lord.
Where you won't have to deal with the day-to-day operation.
Thank you, Lord.
You won't have to deal with ups and downs because he said that I am God of Abraham and the God of Jacob.
Yes.
And I want you to know whatever you might be going through,
yes,
get ready for a miracle breakthrough.
Yes.
Get ready for right now where you sit. Your present state going to change in 2014, 2015, 2016. Get ready for a breakthrough.
Yes.
Get ready to name your healing.
Yeah.
Get ready to name your deliverer, Jesus.
Thank you,
get ready to set all is well.
Yeah.
I need somebody to say to me, Bishop, all is well. As I go through things, I can see things are working for you because you know that God said high and look low.
Yeah.
And he's bringing you up out the dunghill of dust and mess. He bring you out of all this confusion, witchcraft, sickness, and all the things that's going on around the world.
Yeah.
So God is about to lift you up this morning. It reminds me of the prodigal son. As he went out and rotted living and spent all his money,
yes,
he come to himself.
Yes, Lord.
Found himself in a hog pen.
Yes.
And looked around and said, wait a minute. I come to myself.
Thank you, Lord.
Because I know I don't supposed to be in this condition. I want to tell you, you don't supposed to be in the condition you're in.
Yes.
When you come to yourself,
thank
you're going to raise up and say, enough is enough.
Yes.
Oh, y'all ain't going to pray with me.
Thank
but
you.
As we go on the day, he looked around and said, I'm in the hog pen with the hogs.
Yes.
Let me paraphrase a little bit for you. You are there hungry.
Thank
you're there, ain't got no job.
Thank
you're there where all kind of rotten living is going on and you accepting it.
Thank you, Lord.
I want you to come to your senses this evening. I want you to come to your senses this morning.
Yes.
I want you to come to your senses. I need to get up and get out and go to the Creator.
Yes.
Who made me.
Thank you.
I'm talking about Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
And when this young man came to himself, he dusted himself off and pulled what little rags he had up. So I'm going home.
Yeah.
I'm going home.
Thank you, Lord.
To my father.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going back.
Yeah.
To where Jesus. I'm going back to where food.
Yes.
I'm going back where I can be healed. I'm going back where I can come off of dope, alcohol, and drugs. I'm going back where I got a peace of mind. Somebody, young man, you need to come back.
Yes.
Young
yes.
woman, you need to come back.
Yes.
Somebody need to come
yes.
back to Jesus.
Oh,
you've
yes.
been in the whole pen
yes.
too long. You've been down too long. You've been suffering
yes.
too long. You ought to come on back. As I'm coming back to Jesus, I can imagine in my eye, the young man got ready, and he began to walk down that long corridor, and looking, you know, way made down south, they got big homes, and you can see for miles when you get on the property. When the young man got on his father's property, he felt a little bit better, because he was aching, he was with pain, and cancer set in, sickness set in because he was too long in the hog pen. He was too long suffering. But when you make your mind up that you're going to reduce cancer, TB, tuberculosis, cataract and tumor, this man comes, this young man said, I'm coming to myself. As he began to walk up, if you ain't going to pray with me, but if you walk down with me, as he began to walk on the property, when he get ready to walk on the estate,
yeah.
he began to feel a little better.
Yeah.
Look like he holds his head up and said, look,
yeah.
I'm on my father's property.
Yeah.
realm. I'm on the land that I own.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all ain't going to pray with me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Woo.
Glory. Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
God, it's just good we're going to have Brother Faden to pray for you.
Yes, Lord.
As he prayed this morning.
Well, Father, we come once again, oh God, looking and have mercy upon us.
Yes.
Oh God, before I go any further in this prayer.
Yes.
Oh God, I may have spoke wrong, may have talked wrong, may have sinned and come short.
Yes.
But I ask you to forgive me and love my soul freely.
Yes.
Yes.
Lord, let this prayer be the one that reach you. Let it be the one that you listen to.
Yes.
Because God, this world is in a bad shape.
Yes.
The people are watch contrary, don't want to do right. Don't want to treat each other right.
Yes.
Oh, have mercy this evening. God, we can see somebody hungry. We won't even stop and give them no bread. And that ain't the way that you set this world to be. You said, love ye one another. Now, that's like I have loved you. We have come short this morning. Now, but I know you're able, and I believe that you will. Now,
yes.
See about us down here. Now, we are strangers a long way from home.
Yes.
Friends are few. But enemies all around. But oh God, this morning, I know you're able.
Yes.
And I believe that you will. See us through this evening. Oh God, have mercy this evening. We serve Jesus. We need you one for one.
Need you.
Lord Jesus, somebody's daughter is on the comb. Somebody's son is on the
comb. Hallelujah.
Oh Lord, this evening. I know you're able. Good God Almighty.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus, my rock. My where is land. My bread. In a starving land. My water. In dry places.
Yeah.
I love to call him. Your name do something for me. It satisfy my soul. But now, Lord.
Now, Lord.
I got to come off this battlefield.
Can't
play the world no more. You'll see me somewhere in the kingdom. Well, I can give you 90 bread. I'm sorry.
God bless you today, wherever you're at.
Thank you.
And we thank you, Deacon Payton.
Yes.
And we thank you, Mother Payton, right here in Chicago.
Thank you, Lord.
And I want to let you know, 2014 is a winning year.
Yes,
2015,
Lord.
You're going to be around.
Thank you, Lord.
I want you to know 2016, God got you back.
Yes.
But I want you to get ready for your next walk with God.
Yes, Lord.
I want you to get ready for God to open up the door for you.
Yes.
I want you to get ready, young lady, to say that for God I live, for God I die.
Thank you.
Whatever you've been going through, I want you to know that you had houses up and down.
Yeah.
Back and forth to the hospital in 2013.
Yes.
But God told me to tell you, wherever you might be,
thank you,
he's going to mash your blessing.
Thank you.
Get ready for the trillion flow.
Yes.
Get ready for God to walk with you and talk with you and show you a better way.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, you don't need the alcohol.
Thank you.
You don't need the drugs.
Thank you.
You don't need nobody but Jesus. If I and I be lifted up from the glory.
Yeah.
I want you to know.
Thank you, Lord.
If you just lift the name of Jesus up.
Thank you.
Things will be all right.
Amen.
I'm praying.
Amen.
Right now for overflow for you.
Amen.
All the stuff that the devil stole,
well,
I'm praying that it's going to be restored.
Yes, sir.
Matthew 6:30 says, seek first the kingdom.
I want you to get ready tonight. I got Brother John Henry Clark here with Divine Word, Global White Supremacy All Over the World. How did it start? Where we at right now? Get your Bible, get your pencil, write this down. Global white supremacy has been hunting us. Dr. King said it hunted us. It's been hunting us. Global, let me say it again. Global white supremacy. That means all over the world. The black man been under the gun for a long time. Tonight I want you to get ready. We're getting ready to go to June 10th, we're getting ready for Father's Day, we're getting ready for a lot of stuff. But it's something you need to know. You need to know. I want to thank Sister Lorraine that came in this morning. Sister Lorraine, all is well. I want to tell you, I was sitting there thinking about you, Sister Lorraine. I said, now, God has already have gave you the power to move to the next level. And I was thinking about Anthony have a gift, but I got to get him on a platform where people can listen to him, where he can tell what's going on in the world. And sometimes you fall, you get up and dust yourself off. You got a message for somebody. I'm praying tonight for your healing, your deliverance. I'm talking about global. Let me say that again. If you don't know what global means, worldwide. We've been catching hell from Africa, Jamaica, everywhere. Global white supremacy. Now, you might think, what you talking about? This thing was wrote up to keep us in slavery. This thing was wrote up to keep us broke up and our family. Well, we have come together by the power of God to bring things together. This is a divine word. God is able to heal and deliver you from whatever you're in. You know, I was a young man that called me. I talked to this young man. He's all messed up. But I want to pray. I want you to know those in Mississippi and Alabama, they had tornadoes all down through there. And right there in Ruston, Louisiana, they had a tornado. Right there in Gremlin and one in Homer. Tornadoes back to back and on out to, and they had hail like little golf balls. God is still in control of things. You got to stand still and let God work for you. You got to stand still and know God is God. I want to pray. You know, I want to tell you, Lorraine, you had a miracle today and didn't even know it. When you got up and walked all by yourself, that's a miracle. God has let you know all is well. The devil can't hold you back. And anytime you get a breakthrough, God is doing something. I'm praying tonight for every family that lost a loved one. You know, I was talking to Jerry earlier today. He's a bishop. Look like everywhere we go, we shoot and kill each other because that's the evil way. But we got to bring some more love into the scenario. We got to bring more love. We was talking about how much of money that come into the black community and don't stay. We was talking about how we work so hard. Our ancestors worked so hard. Here it is, 2023, we don't have 5 grocery stores. Here's 2023 in Chicago, we don't have 5 liquor stores. Got about 10 liquor stores. Here it is, 2023, we don't have 5 black-owned operating filling stations. Got to think about where we at, what we doing. The only thing we got in the black community that they don't mess with is the funeral home. Because they know they're going to lay you out there sooner or later. What I'm saying to you, God is in control, body, mind, soul, and spirit. And I'm praying tonight that God will open up that door for you. Psalms, Prophet Johnson brought me a Psalms today, and he was giving to me Psalms 51 and Psalms 91. Acts 5, I think Acts 5, 1 and 2, I want to say that to you. Whatever you owe me, you got to give back to me. Ananias, Sapphira, you know, they promised God what they was going to give. And when they got back, they hold the back line. They went on to the cemetery. Quick. The husband lied, then the wife come right on and lied. So they went on to the cemetery quick, fast. And it hurt for a lot. So if God told you to do something, man, you do it. Woman, if God told you to do something, and I pray, let me pray right now with the Spirit on me. Father God, right now we ask you to heal and deliver. Father God, we ask you to break every yoke, east, west, north, or south. We're talking about global racism, white global racism all over. Reason we behind is because we got so much of global white racism in all our business. We didn't come from Africa because we wanted to come. We were handcuffed, robbed, and beat, and brought to Mississippi, Arkansas, and Louisiana. Lost our lives there. I shave our ancestors. I say our ancestors to the east, west, north, and south. I say our ancestors. I say Dr. Henry Clark. I say Dr. Martin Luther King. I say Malcolm X. I say your grandmama, your great-granddaddy. I say bring some love in the house, love in our mind. I say we're going into, I say our ancestors to east, west, north, or south. This is Dr. Henry Clark.
Global white supremacy is going to be covered from our guests from several different perspectives. One historical, one psychological, and one legal. We will start with our elder and historical, Dr. John Henry Clark.
Number one, what holy? Number two, what law? Number three, what
is an essential fit to the life of most of the people in the world. Now, with the interpretation of the curricula as a feel-good curricula, the criticizers of our desire for a correct curricula have had nothing but a feel-good curricula. But they don't want anyone else in the world to feel good. Now, if they stop telling lies about themselves and integrate our truth, maybe all of us can feel good together, and you have universal humanity other than us. Grow the white friends. What the fight over the conviction is about their claiming things that they couldn't possibly have produced, because the things that they claim are older than their existence. This morning on WWRL, a man, our name,
that's another thing.
to protect me from the police to speak for the cause of money.
The minute they asked for the money,
to looking for the missing link. The missing link cannot be possibly found in place except in Europe. So they created a man in Europe, took a skeleton, buried the skeleton, dug it up. In the meantime, there were Europeans debunking all of this. No one paid any attention to then or now. But in the closing years of the 19th century, there was a royal prostitute in Belgium named Leopold, who had houses of joy in different capitals of Europe. He was spending a whole lot of money on these houses because he kept them the year round, and sometimes he used them about once or twice a year. He took them around for capital. There are nations in Europe who did not get in on the slicing up of Africa. They were called apostles that bought in. Well, they would split up the rest of Africa. All those got a little bustle. The Germans got a big slice. The Germans got four nice pieces. Southwest Africa, now Namibia, the Cameroons, Togoland, now Togo, and Tanzania. They began almost to refer to monasticism in Africa, because the civilian governor of Southwest Africa was Jewish. The military governor was Hungarian father. No. But then with these colonial laws being fought, African kings, the so-called chiefs,
the African kings always in Africa. Yes, look at what happened over there.
Just driven into exile, driven to suicide. What do we got now? The closing years of the 19th century, we got missionaries trained Africa who are now petitioning the Europeans, going to his, appealing to his conscience. Not knowing he had no conscience. He had power to the no conscience to accuse you. Thou shalt not. The religion that says thou shalt not is meant for you. He gave that to you. He didn't intend to obey. And ever before this conference, and France getting more colonial territory, Germans getting colonial territory, Belgium getting the big obstacle, Portuguese getting a little fee. All of the gangsters were free on the slice. No African attending. And at this conference, an American Stanford allegedly attended the conference. Spain has its rationale that the Congo might one day be a phase America flag. Saint Abraham Lincoln went to that same charade. Now you want to know what would have happened had Abraham Lincoln not been shot. I'm sorry, God, tell him. But had he not been shot, he had a mighty movement to get all of us out of here. He was just going to present anything to get you out of here. Why he did not believe in slavery, because it was an unwieldy and they possessed us. He didn't believe in your presence. And said point blank, you would never be the social equal of a white person in any case. So why you don't welcome celebrate the nation's birthday to a little gold
Deserve to be read right now. Christianity.
Negro race. All of us are mixed up on all the stuff. We're mixed up on all forms of religion. We're mixed up on all forms of politics. Europeans are still justifying the domination of other people through politics. All right. Now, we had at the end of the 19th century a better Pan-African network, but it took 2 months for a letter to be delivered to be got, right? People were not molded of any island they came from. The Africans understood the artificial nature of the state divided by a foreigner. Some of them understood the artificial nature of the religion imposed on them by a foreigner. All of this is a form of global white supremacy. All over the world, it began to happen. It has reached Asia. In China, the Europeans had their own courts. In Shanghai, there was hotel. Chinese and dogs, not allowed. And some of the people who spit on you now, who now or then, being spit upon. All this is documented. As this knows, were another word for 400,000 customers. The only Chinese woman that can go to another hotel has to be a prostitute or a cleaning woman. This kind of humiliation, the British had reduced an entire nation to dope. Old people. They continue to buy a tractor worse off than you ever were. If they survive, you can survive. But you ain't gonna survive unless you crack some heads.
resurrection boy, restore the kingdom.
We accept the rod's dictation.
That is needed, who that they have not invited you, and immigrant, we are the immigrants against our will. We are the only immigrants who are invited here.
Right.
The nature of the invitation will not be discussed here. Because anxious to get us here. We have an affirmative action program, free for us. No unemployment. No pay either. We transform this nation. My main point is that the first half of this 19th century, we were fighting against global white supremacists. In the back of Africa movement that started during the American Revolution, the movement to settle Liberia, 1847, was marginalized in the Jamaican temple, going out to what is now Nigeria to search for a plane. All of this was a reaction against global white supremacy. A lady in Nigeria who had been in the slave trade discovered that she was not a labor contractor and her people not returning. She began to fight against the slave trade. She began to fight against other Africans in the slave trade. Her name was Madame Tenable. And when she continued her fight, not only to get out of it herself, but to fight everybody in the trade. Her husband had died, and there was a man who was stealing her hand. And she told this man, I cannot marry you now because I have men and work to do, and I do not have time to be a woman. She fought every king in this slave trade.
Right.
And when she had removed the last king from his throne, she turned to the man pursuing her hand and said, it, I am a woman now, I'll accept you all. You think you're not rich? Look what a beautiful offer that was made. What a beautiful couple. There's so many things that we get out of life that we have to complain about. It's a beautiful children's story. It's a beautiful adult story. Beautiful story of conversion. The story of Madame Tenable. I can name you 100 of them now. You have to look for research. Don't get me wrong. I'll research the latest for other reasons too. The verdict after the end of the 20th century, we were in a conflict over Booker T. Washington's theory. Du Bois, a conflict we never should have entered in the first place. Global white supremacy was manifesting itself in restrictions in the West Indies and restrictions in Africa and the continued partitioning of Africa and buying all, killing all dissident elements. In this country, massive riots, 1906, our reaction to Booker T. Washington's program was self-reliant, which is a form of nation building, of nation management. Those terrible years between 1900 and 1915, Africa progressing all over the world, the Caribbean Islands fighting for constitutional government and improving their own lot before they were a majority. But they still did not remove the private clubs in every island. But they had broken themselves down into clubs for brown people. people, cuss for all those white people, cuss for black people. We see a lot of things beyond the boundaries and other words on the subject. You can understand that we rest never for the word mirror, mirror. And another word, color, race and color, character and literature. The British had built in an army. Some of the islands, especially in Barbados, by telling them that they were English. They became an English as the English. And by enough infusion of blood in Jamaica, they could hold their hands up and invite their relatives. And yet there was a group fighting for constitutional government, consistently fighting for improvement. In 1908, Marcus Scott was made to Central America. 1914, he would be in London, studying on the Dewsbury Alley. And in Dewsbury Alley, the paper, he was an editorial, which was a quote from, of all things, of white black nationalism. Edmund Booth, who had grown disenchanted with other missionaries and went around Africa, saying to the Africans, the white men can't be trusted. And finally, the African looked at him and asked him, you can't be trusted. Come on. That was last impression. He said, no. And he proclaimed, out of the money, Africa. Marcus Garvey read it and asked the priest, I will open the eyes of those in home and those in prayer. Marcus Garvey, the entire movement was a result of the actions of global white supremacy. The African colonial movement was a result of it. The early church movement in the United States was a result of the fight against global white supremacy. We wanted to get back some of our African stuff. The chief sale movement in Oklahoma was as a result of Africans trying to escape global white supremacy. This story is told in a book called The Longest Way Home, the chief sale movement in Oklahoma. Black sold that property, given different harbors, waiting for ships to take them home to Africa. It's our Singleton movement for resettlement in the United States. The Liberian movement continued. 1915, Booker T. Washington was dead. Du Bois moved to the center state of leadership, replaced soon by the attention given to Marcus Scott. The rise and fall of the movement has been told many times as an 8-volume book of documents edited by Professor Robert Hill on the life of Marcus Scott. You can argue with Professor Hill's notes, you can argue with the introduction, you can argue with the fact that some of us speak a little conservative, but you cannot argue with the fact that he has given us the greatest documentation on Marcus Garvey.
Right.
Yep. Going through the archives, most of the libraries for anything existed. I think Tony Martin's work equally demands attention. And when you're tired of those, and forgive the modesty, I take my own word. Because I'm going to extend these remarks into a full-blown book. I need not do everything tonight. I will ban both of my colleagues. I want you to hear them also. So one of the things I admire about Martin Luther King, yes, this man built some great clothing things out. I think of too many clothes. It gets confused about which one I'm going to use. But I'm calling on you not only to look at global white supremacy, but look at the global possibilities of African people coming together as a people across all national minds and across all religious minds. Fannie Cook has said, race is like a man until it loves its own history and its own memory. It cannot fulfill itself completely. I say not only to understand global white supremacy, but to understand yourself. You must be acquainted with your history. I have said that history is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day, and it is a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells you where you've been and what you've been, where you are, what you are. Most important is to give you some direction about where you still must go and what you still must be. The relationship of a people to their history is the same as the relationship of a child to its mother. When we look at Europe, young lady, maybe we need to stop imitating people who can't find their own way and stop borrowing people who don't know where they are going. We need to entertain the possibility that we can give the world a new human society. We need to heal some of these wounds and all the cleavages between us. Take pride in wherever you were born. Be parochial, but remember the common denominator is Africa. Because the name of any people must reflect land, history, and culture. And through our own life, let us say to a novel and a Martin and the many thousands gone who put it on the line for our freedom and lost it. With our collective selves, let us sell the differences between us and let them know they did not do it in vain.
Before we continue to let you relax for just a couple of minutes, we'd like to welcome Brother, who has been very much a power force and relationship to UAM and certainly to the activities here at the slave hearing. I'm speaking for a few moments. That's what my brother Roy cancels right by the phone.
Real things in the real world. Thank you for
Media Force with business sites, Action Network, and Twitter. We're back in business again. Because ideology and weight belts must ultimately be turned into reality. And this is what we're doing over at Action Research and Development, Research and Development Foundation. Now, what we are asking out here, as you see, some Action Mission for us to pass out a form. This form is just wants to be, with this form, we want to know if you would be supported credit union across New York City. And as we'll speak about later, it takes money to run a revolution. You have to finance revolution. You have to buy guns. You have to finance research. You have to finance drugs. And all this good to get caught up in Afrocentrism as an idea and ideology, ultimately it must be transformed into wealth and must be transformed into material to be utilized for our advancement as a people. We must finance our own revolution.
If you don't grasp, then you must do this every day. See, most owners don't know this, but eating grass is a common behavior for dogs with derma dysfunction. And if they have allergies, they hit, or they scratch a lot, then your dog's weird need to eat grass could be an instinctive behavior to try to fight the derma dysfunction that's common.
And we must transform our world economically. The Dynamics and Research and Development Foundation there is beginning to damn this day. The credit union that we are now researching
will only be one part of the Middle of Africa. And there is no doubt about it that all of the writers prior to racism admitted that the Aztecs were in fact Africans who had come across here. There is no doubt when Pigmentetto and others, the point is that Van Sotoma is writing and others, but Leo Wiener in 1938 at Harvard University wrote a two-volume book for which he was fired about the Africans, at Olmecs being Africans.
And let me bounce this off of you, okay? You take the same statue. You say, well, you say that they're obviously black creatures. Thick lips, broad nose.
The stereotype.
Okay, other stereotypes. Other anthropologists say, I think Michael Cole is one of them. He says that this is not a black man. He said the people who made these statues, which I understand are 8 feet high, the people who made these statues didn't have sharp enough tools to give them white features, so they're not really black statues. They're white people's carved crude tools. What's your response to that?
It's strange that the tools were not sharp enough to make narrow noses, but it was sharp enough to put eyelids. So it would seem to me that an eyelid is harder to make than a pin nose. But Michael Cole is no less a racist than the head of the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, what's the difference between Michael Cole, Reagan, and the Ku Klux Klan? It had the same philosophy. What is the difference between the fellows writing the Bible and writing about the Queen of Sheba asking, I mean, saying to Solomon, look not, ye daughters of Cedar, look not upon me because I'm black. My parents sent me in the vineyard and thus all this nonsense. She's black because nature made her black. Her mother and father were black. That's why she's black. I'd love to do my going in any vineyard, even though it's in the Bible.
Okay, you talked about religion. We're going to get to that in a while. Let me turn to Dr. Simmons. You also agree with this position that Africans were in this country.
I have no problem, no doubt. Well, as a matter of fact, speaking about, like Dr. Ben mentioned, and you spoke about Michael Nico, I own a book several years ago and still have it in my possession by Michael D. Cole himself, who is considered one of America's leading archaeologists and anthropologists from Yale, one of America's most prestigious schools. In his own work, he referred to them as Negroids. And he went further to state the title of the book is America's First Civilization, what he called civilization. And to turn around and to tell these youngsters and other people in America in particular that the black men were the first to build any type of civilization in the Americas will be disturbing to Americans. And so
let me ask you this. Even if you're right, let's say you're right, what difference does it make?
It makes a lot of difference.
What kind of difference?
It takes the inferiority complex out of the black man who felt that his only beginning and relationship here in this part of the world is that of slavery. Then it puts him in the driver's seat. Because, again, they don't tell you that there are man-made hills within the United States. They call them mounds. And they range from in the Midwest all the way down the eastern seacoast of the United States. And they are found artifacts in them that are similar to things found in West Africa and in Egypt, which is Northeast Africa, that predates the arrival of the so-called indigenous Indians to these lands. Another thing is some years ago, one of the major television networks back in New York, I don't remember exactly which one, ABC or which, had did a documentary, and they said that these Olmecs are the ones who brought right them to the Americas about 3,000 BC. To tell blacks that they ought to be glad to enter into these schools of higher learning today in order to read and write, because their ancestors back in Africa couldn't read and write. You see how what it will do to tell them that they brought right into the Americas? Antonio Picavetta, that Dr. Ben mentioned, who sailed with Magellan when Magellan came to the so-called New World in 1519, when they landed at the land of Brazil, which we now call Brazil, they were met by people in canoes that carried as many as 40 people. And Antonio Picavetta recorded that these people were jet black. It seemed that they came out of the infernal marshes. That meant that they were burnt. He said, naked and black as they are in 1519, 27 years after Columbus's arrival to the so-called New World. Another thing they don't tell you, again, you heard my associate.
Well, why haven't we heard this thing before? Why don't we read them in the New York Times, Birmingham News?
If I stole another man's country and I brought your ancestors here to work for me, could I tell you how great your ancestors were and still expect to keep you in slavery?
Well, let me give you a better, not better necessarily, but an added situation of that. Most black people in Birmingham, Alabama, like in Harlem, New York, are Christians, and they go to a black community, a black minister, a black congregation, but with a white Jesus, because they didn't know that Jesus, up until Pope Julius II, had the first black Jesus painted. He had Michelangelo to do it, but up until that time, the world worshipped the black Madonna and Child. The present Pope is going back to Poland to worship at the statue of the black Madonna and Child. That's in the New York Times. But what the Times says the next day, don't worry about the black Madonna and the Child. She was originally white, but there was a storm in the 16th century passed by and turned it black. But the same storm must have gone to Spain, and then it went to Ethiopia, and it went to the Soviet Union and turned all the black Madonna black. It was a hell of a storm.
Okay, let's get together here. I mean, we're jumping around, and I think we're going to have a beautiful, interesting hour. Okay, because of this subject, I was going to get to this later, but since you opened it, let's deal with it. Okay, you're in the Bible Belt, gentlemen.
I heard so.
You heard so. And I must tell our audience, we had dinner together earlier, and we got into this a little bit. So you're going to hear some interesting things. Because you guys are taking issue with a lot of what we grew up with in the Bible as fact. And you're telling me that's not so. You got
it is. I brought it right here. Before I show you the picture you want to see. This is Pope Pius XII. Right. In his private chapel, praying to the black Madonna and Child. Right. All the popes of Rome. They're private. Just from the church. It's the Roman Catholic Church itself. I just got rid of the copy of the History of the Black Madonna last night. I brought one copy. It's published by the Roman Catholic Order of Nuns called the Daughters of St. Paul. And they said that the picture of the Black Madonna Child in Poland is reputed to have been painted by St. Luke. Now, St. Luke is said to have been one of Jesus' disciples. He ought to know what Jesus had looked like. So if he painted a black woman and child, who am I to say that he wasn't? Besides that, however,
In Anacalypso.
So now you guys are saying Jesus is black.
We just said it. We
what happened with that history. Up until the Nicene Conference of Bishops in 325, when Rome, under the order of Constantine, the Roman Emperor, ordered the 219 bishops at Nicaea, and they took away Christianity from the Africans. Just remember that before they said Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem, they said he was born in a cave in Ethiopia. It was at the Nicene Conference that changed that. Let's go further. That,
wait a minute, let me be sure I'm following you now. You're saying that the birth of Christ, as we know it, is not accurate.
It's a farce. It was only
you realize what you're saying?
A farce, a lie. You know what a lie is?
A lie is a lie.
The person who wrote that at the Nicene Conference of Bishops in 325 A.D., Constantine, the Roman Emperor, ordered a conference be held because Rome wanted to take over Christianity from the people who started it. And Christianity was started with Pantheus and Boethius in a place called Alexandria in Egypt. And Egypt is in Africa. I saw it up to January the 9th. It was there.
You talked about that a little bit last night in your lecture. There was a lecture last night from Dr. Simmons here on campus. You talked about the separation of people don't want us to see Egypt as part of Africa. You talked about the historical thing about blacks being in Egypt as well.
Yes. What I did last night.
I don't want to get away from the other point.
No. I just said that what happened is that I dealt last night the fact that Herodotus, the institutions of higher learning, white institutions, considered the father of history. He himself, when he visited Egypt, around 450 B.C., almost half a thousand years before Christ, so that the Ethiopians, the Egyptians, the people of cultures, which is part of present-day Turkey, were people of black skin and woolly hair. All right? And so I just want you to understand that the Egyptians we now see are conquerors, just like people who came here and took this land from the Indians, so that they're not indigenous to Africa, those who now rule Egypt. And Egypt is just as much a part of Africa as Birmingham, or Alabama is part of the so-called United States.
Let me just be clear on this. So what you're saying to me now is that the people that we see, the Dot and all those guys, are not two Egyptians.
So
that's mother was a Sudanese. Nasser's mother was a Sudanese, but their fathers were Arab conquerors. The one that was the African was Mohammed Naguib, the first president of Egypt, the one that overthrew Farouk. But 1 year after that, since he was looking for a hookup with the other Nile Valley countries as it used to be in antiquity, he was removed by the Arab conquerors. The Arabs didn't come to Egypt until 640. The first non-African people came to Egypt, otherwise called the Hyksos, in 1675 B.C. The Africans there were already in the 13th dynasty period. They had built every pyramid you saw there before. They had done the S-turn in the Nile. They built every one of the major temples that had already been built, including the Grand Lodge of Luxor. The first European to come there did not arrive until the Greeks arrived with Alexander II, the son of Philip of Macedonia.
Look, I'm a college graduate. I never heard all of that.
Because they didn't intend to teach you that. They can't tell you that you're inferior and teach you that you taught Egypt, Europe. The first Europeans to be civilized by the Africans were the Greeks. When you heard of Homer, the first European to have written anything, you couldn't miss that. They said that Homer wrote the Iliad and the Odyssey. And that was not until 833 B.C. The Africans had already in 255,000 at the Tassili Mountain, they had the civilian period, first, second, and third, the pre-dynastic period, all the way up. The Africans had produced men like this, Inhotep, the multi-genius that designed the pyramid of Saqqara. The first man to be a physician that even Hippocrates, the so-called father of medicine, is giving him credit and calling him the god of medicine. The Greeks changed his name from Imhotep to Aesculapius. There he is.
This gets into what you're saying. So wait a minute. You guys are telling me now that black men taught Homer.
As a matter of fact,
Egypt for school.
As a matter of fact, the Egyptians said Homer was Egyptian. That's Greek.
That's right. It's only the Europeans said that. The Westerners now said he was. But let us go back. Remember that Homer himself said in the Odyssey what? That the gods Zeus and Apollo, Europe's first gods, came from Ethiopia. Go read it. And I didn't write it. He wrote it. Thales, from Thales down to Socrates, and Socrates down to Aristotle, which they call the pre-Socratic philosophers, the post-Socratic philosophers, each and every one, including Plato, who spent 15 years in Egypt receiving their education.
You're saying Plato was educated in Egypt?
15 years.
What you have me believe in also, for part of what you said last night is that Plato and these guys went back home, and they were big guys. But they were taught in Egypt? Is that what you
said? They came there. They came there for education.
And they said it. They didn't hide it. It was the modern writers, the modern instructors and professors who trended in it.
You can't have a racist school in Birmingham. Non-racist education.
Let me get to something you said last night that's not going to make you very popular in this town, and they not allow you to get safely out of town. You told an audience last night that you saw, I think, in a tomb in Egypt.
Yeah.
You saw it with your own two eyes, right?
Yes.
You told me that Moses, there were more than 10 commandments. Moses just took 42.
The negative confessions. Moses isn't supposed to have been born until 1349 B.C. The Africans were already in the 18th dynastic period. Akhenaten, who died before Moses was born, and Inhotep, who died more than 2,000 years before the birth of Moses, and others at the Grand Lodge of Mem, had 42 laws called now the negative confession, one for each known. They go like this: I have not killed man nor woman. I have not spoken ill of the gods. Moses is supposed to be born in Egypt, they said, at a place called Succoth. Already, it says that Moses gets the 10 commandments of Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is still in Africa, right? The Sinai Peninsula is a part of Egypt. More so, is it possible for Moses to be born in Egypt, educated in Egypt? At age 85, he's still in Egypt, and he did not learn the negative confessions? Is it possible for you to go to school, born in the United States, go to kindergarten, elementary, junior high school, high school, and college, and never heard of the United States Constitution? Then it would have been impossible for Moses, when everybody had to read the negative five times a day, for Moses not to have seen those 42 laws and extracted 10 of them, leave 32 more. Now, if you could go to the temple of Setaiwan at Abydos, to go to the tomb of Ramesses VI at the Valley of the Kings, go to the temple of Edfu, where you would, by the way, see the story of an immaculate conception and a virgin birth 4,100 years before the Mary and Jesus story.
As a matter of fact, wait. No,
let me just put it in the form of a question then. I mean, I don't want to stop this because we're here for information. But what you're trying to get me to believe is that Moses didn't get the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai, but he got them
from his fellow Africans.
Moses was a high priest of Egypt. He was a high priest of the Egyptians in Egypt. Then what was he teaching? He wasn't a high priest of the Jews.
There were no Jews in those days. They called them. Remember now, there was no Israel yet. Israel is not until 1196. And when we hear of Abraham, Avram, as he was called, coming into Egypt, the Africans are already in Egypt, already in their 14th dynastic period when he shows up. All of the pyramids are built. That's another thing. Everyone, the 62 pyramids in Egypt were built before the first Jew was born.
Why was he fleeing from the poor? What was the charge?
I can write anything when I want to write, you know. Who's going to stop me from writing if I got the power?
I was about to ask you, what kind of trouble do you get into for holding these kind of views?
Oh, without a doubt, I was my black sister spat in my face, and because she couldn't take that. She couldn't take that Jesus was black. She said, no. I mean, he had no color. If he didn't have no color, how John the Baptist saw him to baptize him?
Do you realize that you're getting at the foundation, that you're shooting and digging away at the foundation of what most of us grew up believing?
Yeah, well, we believe a lot of things for a long time. One thing, they give us 3 pages in the Bible. Slave obey your master, and that's what we believe for the longest time. They said that Jesus said, so how would Jesus, who fought the system, said to the slave, obey your master? They didn't sound rational with it. So, look, most of the things, we're in a European system. You can come to this university and spend 4 years, go back and spend another 2 for your master's, and another 1 or 2 for your doctorate, and never had any course at all about Africans. But every day you come here, you got courses about Europeans. This is an extension of European culture. complete European racism, and it has no intent of teaching about the Africans. The Africans built the European first university, the University of Salamanca in Spain. These are historical records.
See, one of the things you said last night is that it's not just black people who are saying it.
No.
Most of this information are written by white
books.
It's just that they don't emphasize it in the classroom. As a matter of fact, let me back you up when you open up the discourse. We were speaking about Columbus. None of them in here, none of the listening audience, even in the air, has the faintest idea that in the life of Columbus, when after his death, his family had to go to court because charges was raised, and this is in the record, in the Vatican, in the secret archives of the Vatican, that Columbus was shown a map of where the Queen of Sheba that Dr. Ben spoke about, this black woman who had made it with Solomon and produced the son, Manelik the First, and they lived more than 900 years before the birth of Jesus, had already sailed through what we now call the Strait of Gibraltar, came to land to the west that was longer than Africa and Europe combined, and that brother is North, South, and Central America.
May I add this? Right here at this university, they teach, and I've just been here a few days, right? A day. They're teaching this institution because it's the same as Cornell and Webb. That Hippocrates was the father of medicine. He's not until 333 B.C. Let me read this for you.
Okay, you teach at Cornell.
I teach at Cornell also.
And they teach this kind of stuff, Cornell?
They teach it now. I'm there.
Okay.
1700 B.C., that's 1400 years before Hippocrates, you can find the Cahun medical papyrus is paper.
Okay.
A compendium of information about women's diseases and pregnancies. In 1600 B.C., that's 1300 years before Hippocrates, the Edwin C. Smith Papyrus, a comparative surgical text and anatomical inquiry. It especially deals with the spinal column. 1550, let me jump to one here. The Evers Papyrus. There is the whole book of it. A medical paper by Queen Hatshepsut, the first known queen in history, an Egyptian queen. A papyrus designed to show women how to develop a method to stop pregnancy, to insert into the vagina, made of the shrub of acacia and honey, which breaks down into lactic acid. Not only that, Monsanto, Duper.
So we're talking about birth control.
Birth control in 1550 B.C. by the Africans.
It's a long time for a pill.
A few days before.
Keep in mind, however, that Europe is not yet in history.
I'll
ask one at a time.
Okay.
This civilization began. Homer, I've not written his Iliad and Odyssey. He had the hero.
Okay, all the stuff that you're saying we can find it.
I have nothing to say. It's not here. It's either in Doc's library or mine that's back in New York. Nothing to take for granted.
For the books that we brought down.
And you're saying they're not all written by black men?
No. Anacalypse is written, look now. Okay. Anacalypse is a two-volume work by Sir Godfrey Higgins, written in 1838 in England and published by Watson Company. The Golden Bow is a 13-volume book by Sir James Frazer, published simultaneously in the United States and England, and it was published in 1938. Bible Myths and the Parallels in Other Religions, written by Thomas W. Boone, and published in 1887 by Watson Company, London, England. The Ruins of Empire by Concierge Bowley is published in